Thank you, Jesus. Thank you very, very much. Gracias. In Indonesia, we would say terima kasih. In South Africa, we would say baie dankie. Hallelujah. And in Ebonics, we would say, what up? No, I'm playing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, if you could stand with me one more time just for the reading of God's word, and then I'll go ahead and let you be seated this morning. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be in Victory Outreach, Milwaukee. It's a 28-hour flight from South Africa. So some of you drove 20 minutes, and I flew 28 hours. So if I can be awake, you could be awake. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Praise the Lord. And if you give your attention for the next 40 minutes, I believe God will do something inside of you that will live for the next 40 years. How many know if you can give, concentrate for 40 minutes, I believe the Lord's going to do something special in your life this morning. Amen. And so, Pastor Charlie, Sister Marlene, thank you again for your hospitality. I've had a tremendous, tremendous time since I've gotten off the plane, since I got here. It's been a blessing. And I've not only been able to minister, but I've also been able to be ministered to. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the rest. I appreciate the hospitality. Thank you, guys. I really, really do appreciate that. And so this morning, the title of my message is called First Things First. First Things First. And I think it's been confirmed throughout the message or throughout the service for some of the points that I have for you. But when you learn to put God first, and He's the priority, not only in your words, but in your actions, and you begin to really prioritize God, then you align your life with His promises. See, many people know His promises, but they don't experience His promises because His promises are connected to our practice, not to our knowledge. There's got to be a practice. There's got to be a doing. Faith without works is absolutely dead. So you can know all the scripture, you can know all the conversations, but if you don't do, tell your neighbor, be a doer. Be a doer. And this morning, I want to challenge our doing. Hallelujah. And I believe that God's going to really give us something this morning. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. The Bible reads like this, but seek first. Somebody say first. His kingdom and His righteousness and all these things, everything else. When He's speaking about is everything you're worried about, everything you're chasing. You won't have to chase it no more. But when you put God first, these things will chase you. Come on. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Father, I pray that we would learn the principle of putting You first, that You would be able to take care of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can go ahead and be seated this morning. On Friday, I was able to share with the church of some of the things that are happening in South Africa. We've been there for now, I think it's almost 16 years. 16, I've been there, 16, 17, I've been there for 15. This year will be my 15th year in South Africa. And we went there with a vision to be able to build a church in Cape Town, South Africa, that we evolved to a base type of church, and from that church, we would be able to make an impact in the country of South Africa. And so for 15 years, we've been giving ourselves to that vision, and we've been able to build up a church in the city of Cape Town, and through that church, we've now launched out 8 different churches into the country of South Africa. So this started off as a dream, started off as a vision, but how many know if you work it, it'll work? And if you give yourself to something and you commit yourself to something, especially if it's God's will, then little by little you begin to see those things come to pass. And so we've been able to not only send out churches, but I think the most beautiful part of it is those that are pastoring these churches are the South Africans that we were reaching 15 years ago. They were coming in to our homes. They were coming in addicted to heroin, addicted to meth. And they were coming into the ministry. And inside of the home, the Lord was delivering them and setting them free. But how many know God not only brings us out of our past, but God also calls us into our future? And as He was getting them in there and delivering them, then He was also placing a calling upon their life. And through discipleship and through working with them, we see those same South Africans being raised up in the house of God. And the same way that we were sent to their country, they're now being sent back in to their country to build churches for the kingdom of God. And how many know that's exciting when you're able to see that? And so when you go to the Mighty Men of Valor this year in May, in August, you go to the Women's Convention in March, you'll be able to meet some of your South African family. And again, you may travel, how far is it here to get to California? 4 hours on a flight? You're going to go four, they're going to go 28. Hallelujah. So we could go four if they're going to go 28. Praise the Lord. You could spend 400 when they're going to spend 1400. From a third world country with the RAN, hallelujah. And you'll be able to meet your South African family that has been reached, delivered, and raised up for the kingdom of God. How many know that we're a family all over the world? Amen? The ministry of Victory Outreach. And so with that, I want to thank God for the United We Can family, for those of you that partner with the vision, that you say, yes, I'm not only a tither in Victory Outreach Milwaukee, but I also believe in the vision of Victory Outreach International. So I go above my tithe, and I'm faithful also with my United We Can. And through United We Can, we're able to do these different things in different parts of the world. So thank you. We salute you. Thank you for your commitment and dedication to reaching the world for Jesus. How many can say amen? Amen. Well, here this morning, the opening scripture that I read, it says, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to us as well. And as I was praying towards the end of the year last year and getting ready for this year, I was praying and God began to really put things in my spirit. If I wanted to see the promises that God has made to us, I mean, God has given us promises. But I've come to a point in my Christian walk where I don't want to just hear about the promises of God, but I want to experience the promises of God. I don't want to hear just inspiring messages on Sunday, but I want to walk in the fulfillment of that message on Monday. I want to see God's provision and God's blessing come to pass within my life. And God said that the blessing that I have for you is in line with the principles I've established for you. And if you learn to establish these principles within your life where they become lifestyle, then you will also see the promises come to pass. And I believe one of these principles that God has put in my spirit, and I believe can also help each and every one of us, is the principle of the first. The principle of the first. Somebody say the first. First things first. See, as we come to this new year, many of us make New Year's resolutions. We make a New Year's resolution that we're going to begin to make new commitments to get healthy again. Some of us started off the year with a Daniel fast. We started off the year of going to the gym. We went back to the gym that we didn't go to for 6 months last year. Come on, somebody. But we made a New Year's resolution to get back to the gym. Come on, somebody. And we make all these New Year's resolutions that I'm going to be focused on my marriage this year. I'm going to build my kids this year. I'm going to save more money this year. I'm going to do all these different things. And we make all these commitments that we're going to do to help make our personal life better. But the biggest commitment that you and I can make is a commitment to put and keep God first. We can make all these New Year's resolutions, but I think the greatest New Year's resolution that you and I can make is that God will be the priority of my life in 2023. How many want to make Jesus the priority? Praise the Lord. And here in our opening scripture, Jesus instructs the Jewish disciples of that time that they should not live their lives like the rest of society, but they should make it a lifestyle practice of putting and keeping God first. Not a seasonal first, not just because it's the first month of the year. I put God first, but not only in January, but even in February, in March, in April, and all throughout the entire year, I will continue to protect the principle of keeping Jesus the priority of my life. Matthew 6:25 was the scriptures before verse 33. He says like this, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Solomon was dripped out. Come on, somebody. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Verse 31 is the key. He says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But you, as a believer, as a child of God, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of its righteousness, and all of these things that you're chasing after, and all these things that you're worried about, you will not have to worry about them no more. You will not have to chase after them. But as you chase after God, these things will begin to chase after you. I don't know about you, but in 2023, I don't want to be chasing this or chasing that. I'm going to be chasing Jesus. As I'm chasing Jesus, these things will come after me. If you believe it, I need you to clap by faith. If you believe that this year is going to be the best year of your life, keep on clapping a little bit. If you believe that this year is a year of answered promises, this year is a year of breakthrough, go ahead and clap those hands a little bit, because God is a faithful God, and God is able to do everything he said he will do. God is a good God. But we got to get a hold of what he's saying and what he's teaching and begin to apply it to our life. And we, my friend, will experience every promise that God has made us come to pass. The first thing I want to look at here is that not only does God desire us to be first, God desired to be first, but God, we must settle in our hearts that God must be first. This is not necessarily a principle that we agree with or an opinion. Whether we agree with it or not, God is still first. Whether we put him first or not, that's up to you. That's your choice. But whether you put him first or don't put him first, he's still the first and the last. He's still the Alpha and the Omega. And you and I have to be able to come to a place in our life that we understand God is first. He's always been first. Before there was the world, there was God. After the world goes away, there'll still be God. He's the first, the last. And how many believe that Jesus was also there in the beginning? Hallelujah. And he's first. See, this principle that is being communicated by Jesus here in the New Testament is a principle that God has been communicating to his people from the beginning of time. Give me the first. Put me first, and I will bless the rest. See, we could see the difference when we look at the lives of Cain and Abel. This is something that was so beautifully communicated on Friday night. Again, hit a little bit here this morning, but I want to drive it home a little bit with us. When you look at Cain and Abel, Genesis chapter 4, two brothers that sat under the same teachings, they were raised in the same house, but they had two different ways of applying principle. They both were raised by Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve, as good parents, taught them the principles of God. But who applied it and who didn't apply it? Abel was the one, the Bible says, when they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Verse 4 says, Abel also brought a gift, but he brought the best portions of the firstborn lamb. Cain brought some, Abel brought the best, and Abel brought the first. Cain brought some, Abel brought the best, and Abel brought the first. You see, two people under the same teachings, learning the same principles, but the way they applied them was two different ways. Cain brought what he wanted, when he wanted. Abel brought the first, and Abel brought the best. And the Bible says like this, that the Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he became dejected. Then God looked at Cain. He said, why are you so upset? What you mad for? Come on, somebody. If you just do what is right, will you not also be accepted? You can't do what you want when you want. if you want the favor and you want the blessing. Otherwise, you're going to be a frustrated man or a frustrated woman. I don't know about you, but I don't want a frustrated year. I want a year of joy. I want a year of peace. I don't want to walk around like Cain, dejected and frustrated, but I want to walk like Abel with peace and joy, knowing that I applied a principle that was shared with me, and because I applied it, my offering was accepted. My life has been accepted, and when your life is accepted by God, you walk in the favor of God. When your life is accepted by God, you walk in the anointing of God. How many want a blessed year in 2023? How many want to walk in the favor of Jesus in 2023? My friend, the blessing and the favor and the promises of God are connected to the principles of God. Abel gave God the first, and Abel gave God the best. And because of that, everything else was blessed. Cain gave God whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted, and he walked away angry and frustrated. The Bible even says that after his anger turned into murder, he ended up killing his brother. Some of us are hating on our brothers and our sisters in the Lord. But don't hate, participate. Come on, somebody. We're hating on the joy of our brother. We're hating on the joy. Why are they always so joyful? Why are they always so blessed? Why? Because they're probably practicing principles that are connected to their joy. If you want what they got, you got to do what they do. Don't get critical. Don't get jealous. Begin to apply, because you too can walk in the blessing. You too can walk in the favor if you do what has been taught to you. And if you and I do the principles that God has promised and laid before us, then we too can walk in the favor that God has for us. See, we must decide in our hearts, what type of year do you and I want? Do we want a joyful year with God's blessing and God's favor? Come on, somebody. Or do we want a year of frustration, disappointment, and everything else that comes with it? See, the result of our year will be a direct reflection on the principles we practice. The result of our year will be a direct reflection on the practice of our principles. And the main principle I believe that I'm trying to communicate this morning is the principle of making and keeping God first and priority. Now, how do you and I practice that within our lives? I believe the first way that we could practice this in our lives is that God gets the first hours of the day. When we wake up early in the morning and we put God first. We don't give Facebook our first. We don't give Instagram our first. We don't give breakfast our first, but we give God our first. We wake up in the morning and we say, God, you're the priority of my life. And therefore, I'm not just going to jump in my car and drive to work, but I'm going to spend a little time in the presence of Jesus. When we learn to apply the principle of the first, the rest of the day will be blessed. How many want to walk in the blessing of God? Psalms 5:3 says, listen to my voice in the morning. Each morning I bring my request to you, and then I wait expectantly. In other words, in the morning I spend time with you. Mark 1:35, the Bible says, this is Jesus. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place, and he prayed. Jesus modeled it. David practiced it. And how many know that if you and I also apply the first hours of the day, the rest of the day we'll walk in the wisdom of God. The rest of the day we walk in the strength of God. But when we don't put God first, we get sidetracked. We get distracted. We get irritated. We go through so many other things throughout the day. Life is demanding. There's pressures on us. There's decisions that need to be made. There's choices that need to happen. And how many know we need the wisdom of God every day? Not just one day, but every day. Most of us spend time with God when we're desperate. Most of us go to God when things are going bad, when things are going wrong. Then we come back and say, God, please help me. My friend, you don't have to go the wrong way when you keep God first. You don't have to go a different way when you keep God first. You experience God's blessing, you stay in God's blessing. How many want to walk in the blessing of the Lord 2023? I thank God for the home early in the morning. Hallelujah. When I was in the home, they would get us up in the morning. And they would say, brother, make your bed. They would say, your bed is a reflection of your spiritual life. How your bed looks. Come on, somebody. So we would make our bed like the military. But I could bounce a quarter off my bed. Come on, somebody. Then we would go and brush our teeth Some of them would brush their tooth. Come on, somebody. Just hit that wand, brother. Just, work that thing. And then brush that tongue, too. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. It would give us a half hour to get ourselves ready. Get up, make our bed, wash our face, brush our teeth. And then we would get into, we wouldn't go do chores. We wouldn't go to work. We wouldn't go, we would go right there into the sanctuary. First thing in the morning. And there we would sing those songs. I woke up this morning with my mama, set on Jesus. You got it. Hallelujah. I woke up this morning with my mama, set on Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We still sing those songs. Come on, somebody. My devil don't like it with my mind, Come on. We would get up early in the morning because we understood we were not in a program. We were not in some rehab. We were not going to do this step and that step and this 10 steps and these 12 steps. We were getting up. There was one step. And that one step, my friend, was to abide in Christ. And if you abide in Christ, then Christ would abide in you. And in that morning, drug addiction was falling off my life. In that morning, depression was falling off my life. In that morning, suicidal thoughts were falling off my life. It was in that morning. It was not a counseling session. It was not a psychologist therapy. It was in the presence of God. It was in the presence of Jesus, where what was impossible with man was made possible with God. What the world couldn't do, Jesus did right there in that sanctuary. And God delivered us. If you've been delivered by the grace of God, I need you to put those hands together again, because it was not a man that delivered you. It was the power of God. The power of God in a man's life. The power of God in a woman's life. That's why for over 55 years, Victory Outreach has been seeing treasures out of darkness, hitmen, mafia members, every worst case scenario. And the world said this person's going to spend the rest of their life in prison. But through the grace of God, they're standing in the house of God and they're moving forward with God. Why? Because we learned to put God first. Early in the morning will I seek thee. And the same thing I did for those 26 months in the home. I wasn't in the home 8 months. I wasn't in the home 6 months. Come on, somebody. I was in the home 26 months. Now, maybe everybody doesn't need 26 months. Come on, somebody. But I needed 26 months. And I learned for 26 months was instilled inside of me that God gets the first. And so for now, for 23 years, God still gets the first. Early in the morning will I seek thee. And if we learn to cultivate a discipline of putting God first in the morning, then we dedicate the day unto the Lord. And it's in that morning where we get the wisdom that we need for that day. It's in that morning that we get the strength. And when you leave the prayer closet, opportunity presents itself. You discern it as a God opportunity or as a distraction from the devil. Come on, somebody. You're able to be discerning with your day because you learn to put God first. How many know we got to include Jesus in what we want to do? Not only some days, but every day. Not only the first hours of the day, but also the first day of the week. We were talking last night over dinner about what day is first. Some people look as Monday as the first day of the week. And those that put Monday as the first day, they usually get up early and begin to determine in their heart that this first day of the week, Monday, I'm going to work as hard as I can to make as much money as possible. Putting money as the priority rather than God as the priority. How many know the Bible says you cannot serve two masters? You either love one and hate the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Money. People steal from their mother. Come on, somebody. Money, 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 money. Money. Come on, somebody. That money, my God, hallelujah. And I'm not saying that we don't need money. Come on, somebody. We need money. But money cannot become our God. Money cannot become our priority. Jesus has to be the priority. And therefore, We don't look at Monday as the first day of the week. We look at Sunday as the first day of the week. Sunday's the first day of the week. If you have an iPhone, Sunday is the first day of the week. If you have a MacBook, Sunday is the first day of the week on that calendar. Why? Because Sunday, God gets priority. Before I go to work, I'm going to come to Jesus. Before I get into the week, I'm going to worship God. God gets my worship. God is my source. So therefore, I'm not coming to Sunday on the last day of the week, but I'm coming to Sunday on the first day of the week. Why? Because God is first. God is priority. Is God priority in 2023? If you prioritize the things of God, my friend, you will walk in the favor of God. Sunday, my friend, is the first day, not Monday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Come on, somebody. Some people look at Friday as the first day of the week, and they put their energy to having a great weekend, to get into the club. Come on, somebody. I'm gonna go bust my new moves. Come on, somebody. Go show off my new drip. Hallelujah. But you drip, drip, dry, brother. Hallelujah. We don't put Monday as priority for money or Friday priority for entertainment, but we put Sunday as the priority to give God our best and to give God our glory. Why? Because every good thing we have has been given to us by God. That marriage you have has been restored by God. Those children you have been kept by God. That job you have is a door that God been opened. And you come on Sunday and you say, thank you, God, that you have been faithful to me. Thank you, God, that you have been good to me. We come to Sunday not just to sit around, but to celebrate. How many are here to celebrate the goodness of God on a Sunday morning? I come to celebrate the faithfulness of God. He's a faithful God, and therefore I give priority to my Sunday, that Sunday is the Lord's day. Acts 20 says, on the first day of the week, we came together and we broke bread and we sat under the teachings of the apostles. Hebrews 10 verse 25, the Bible says, do not let us neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. How many know Jesus is coming soon? And we got to be careful with all these opinions and all these ideas that are going on around us. And we need to sit in the house of God and encourage each other in the things of God. Because one day Jesus is going to come like a thief in the night. And with the loud trumpet sound, he's going to take those who are dead in Christ first. But us who are still alive, we will be taken to heaven. And the Bible says, then we will be with the Lord forever. I don't know about you, but I'm on my way to heaven. Is there anybody here that says, I'm on my way to heaven? I'm heaven bound. This is not my home. I'm just passing through, and I'm on my way. And therefore, I have to keep my priorities. God, you are first. You get the first hours of the day. You get the first day of the week. And you also get the first fruits of my increase. The first fruits of my increase belong to the Lord. I don't give God my leftovers. I give God my first, and I give God my best. See, another way you and I keep God first and priority within our lives is not only by giving him the first days of the hour, first hours of the day, and the first days of the week, but we also keep our heart in check by giving God the first fruits of our increase. By being faithful with our finances. God is not after your money. He's after what your money is connected to. And the Bible says, there where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. And so as we put God first in our finances, we're also putting God first in our heart. God is the priority of our life. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Be careful with the new wine. Come on, somebody. Some of you said, the pastor said Sunday morning, come to the house of the Lord and get some new wine. Come on. You're going to go and have lunch with some new wine. New wine was a significant part of the lifestyle of that time, that they would use wine to make money. Come on, somebody. So be careful with wine. Hallelujah. You just drink some grape juice. Hallelujah. Some of you drink a sip of wine, you take the whole bottle. Phew. You can't stop with the sip. Come on, somebody. Some of you want to get communion. I remember one time I went to Indonesia, and Indonesia would use real wine. Now, some people could probably handle real wine. Praise the Lord. Me, I come from a certain lifestyle. You give me a little bit of wine, I said, my God, how are we doing communion again? Come on, somebody. Can we do two communions this morning? Hallelujah. Because one sip wakes up the giant. And all of a sudden, the giant's alive. So give me a little more wine. Pretty soon, I'm still in the wine bottle. Hallelujah. I'm going back to where they prepare for communion. Come on, somebody. We got to be careful with our appetites. Don't wake up the giant by drinking a little bit of that wine. Victory Outreach people, know your limit. Hallelujah. If we put God first, the Bible says, with our first fruits and honor the Lord with our wealth, then he will keep our barns filled. In other words, he will keep us in a good place. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the tithe to the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. I will prevent the pests from devouring your crops. I will prevent inflation from affecting your money. I will prevent the battles that are going on around you from affecting your business or affecting your job. Because you put me first, I'll take care of the rest. You take care of God's house, God will take care of our house. How many know that we got to continue to keep God first within our life? Then the Bible says in verse 12, then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. People will watch you and say, wow, how do you stay so blessed? In the midst of everything, you still are blessed. In the midst of everything, you still are prospering. You're going to say, because I learned a principle. I learned a principle of keeping God first. I learned a principle of putting God first. So this, what I got, has nothing to do with me. This has to do with the faithfulness of God. And it gives you an opportunity to testify about the goodness of God. How many want to share the love of Jesus with the world around you? My second point is not only God must be first, but we also must guard the motivation of the first. My second point is love and humility is the foundation of the first. Not only putting God first, but the motive behind why we do what we do. See, if you and I are going to experience the promise connected to the principle, it is not only the practice of the principle, but more importantly, the motive that moves us into practicing the principle. We don't give to get, we give because we love Jesus. See, the Bible says in James 4, yet you do not have what you want, because you don't ask God for it. And verse 3 says, and even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you personal pleasure. When we give with an impure motive, even if it's the first, the impurity of our motives cloud the blessing from coming through within our life. See, the motive that you and I must cultivate throughout 2023 and protect within our life is, I do what I do, number one, because I need Jesus. And number two, because I love Jesus. See, the motive of the principle is humility and love. I put God first because I need God. I put God first because I love God. See, true humility is a place in our lives where we know and understand that we are nothing without Jesus. Pride, my friend, is the opposite of humility. Pride says, I can do this without Christ. Humility says, I can do nothing without Christ. John 15, verse 5 says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing. How many know, not only do we love Jesus, but we need Jesus. When Jesus is not the center of my life falls apart. But when I keep Christ at the focus and I keep Christ at the center, everything else seems to stay together. Not only do I love Jesus, but I need Jesus. And I come to a place where I decrease and God increases. I come to a place where I understand that every time I've leaned on my own understanding, every time I tried to make it happen on my own, everything has ended up a failure. But when I put God first and I trust God for his wisdom and I trust God for his strength, everything seems to be successful. How many want a successful 2023? Not only do we love Jesus, but we need Jesus. And the second point is, we do things first because we love God. Before we could put God first, we must love God first. Revelations 2:2 says, I know all things you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they're apostles, but they're not. You have discovered that they're liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting, but I have this one complaint against you. You don't love me the way you used to. You don't love me and you don't love each other the same way you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do what you did in the beginning. How many know we have to guard that first love? Those of you that are a little newer in the Lord, you're probably loving Jesus. Don't lose it. Hallelujah. But after you've been serving God a while, and life begins to hit you, and life begins to take an effect on you, little by little, you could begin to shrink from the way you loved Jesus in the beginning. How many know we need to protect our love? We need to protect the way that we love Jesus. See, the motivation for 2023 must be a motivation that has been birthed from a deep, sincere place that says, God, I could do nothing without you. And Lord, I love you with all my heart, mind, and soul. And the Bible says, what is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Many people say they love Jesus, but they can't stand their neighbor. That's not true love, my friend. That's an artificial love. We can come to church and be bitter and be negative, but when we learn to love the Lord, the love of God will fill our hearts. And not only do we love Jesus, but we learn to love each other. Come on, somebody. How many want to love each other in 2023? See, we give Jesus the first hours of the day because we love him and because we need him. We give Jesus the first day of the week because we love him, because we need him. We give Jesus the first fruits of our increase because we love him and because we need him. Jesus' greatest desire from you and I as his people is that we would love him with everything that we got and that we would depend on him because he is our Father. And if we embrace his role within our life, then my friend, he will lead us and guide us into the future that he has for us, a future of prosperity, a future of blessing. But you can't experience the promise if you don't practice the principle. 2023, I need you to clap as if it's going to happen. Hallelujah. And as the musicians make their way and I bring this thing in for a close, the Bible clearly states here, and this is Jesus communicating to these early Jews and people, the disciples. And he was dealing with something here because he was noticing that they were putting their hope and there were, everything else was the source of their life. They were overwhelmed by the worries of what they were going to eat and what they were going to drink and what they were going to wear. And Jesus says, listen, you don't have to worry about all these things. Your Father knows what you need. Don't distract yourself by chasing all of these things. Learn to put God first by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And how many know by faith, you're the center of my life, Jesus. By faith, you're the priority of my life. And when I begin to align my life by faith with God being first, I give him the first hours of the day. I give him the first day of the week. I give him the first of my increase. By faith, God, I'm doing this because I need you. And I'm doing this because I love you. Then, even without you even wanting it, the promises come to pass. It's not the motivation of our heart, but it's the result of our practice. He says, if you do this, everything that you're worried about, everything that distracts you, everything that overwhelms you, everything that even brings some of us into a state of depression. Some of us went through depression in 2022. Some of us are still in depression from COVID and everything that we went through. Some of us people have talked about us. Some of us people, our heart has been affected. But how many know if we can get back to the presence of God, if we can get back to God being the priority, the Holy Spirit has a way of soothing our hearts and healing our hearts and healing our minds. And the way we love Jesus, he loves us. And as we experience the love of God within our lives, there's new freedom. There's new joy. There's new peace. And there's also new provision. The supernatural release over our life. How many want to experience that supernatural? I don't know about you. I don't want to just hear about it. I want to walk in it. But I know that my experience with God's promises are a result of the practice of my principle. Lord, you are first within my life. If you want to put God first, I want you to stand to your feet. If you say 2023, Jesus, you are the priority. Do we know that song? Jesus at the center. Jesus at the center of it all. He says, you don't know it? Huh? What were you going to sing? What song were you going to do?
Nothing else.
Nothing else. Man, that one? Okay, let's stay with that one then. We'll stay with whatever you got. I don't want to throw you off. Hallelujah. Come on, keep God first. Hallelujah. Stay in your lane, Pastor. Just preach. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. How many love Jesus this morning? Hopefully you leave with something. Hopefully you leave and this rings in your mind. God is first. You're first within my life. Why are you first? Because I need you. Apart from you, I can do absolutely nothing. Many of us tried, man. We tried. And we may have had a little bit of success, but we had no joy. We were successful, but depressed. A lot of money, but no peace. My friend, money and the material things is not a sign of success. Success is peace and joy to enjoy it. I believe success is enjoying my wife, enjoying my kids, enjoying my family with God's provision within my life. I'm not worried about the rent and the water and the this and that. God takes care of me. God takes care of me. But I'm not going to chase after these things for temporary satisfaction and these things that give me a temporary sense of, wow, this is good. But as soon as, see, God doesn't promise happiness because happiness comes with happenings. And as soon as the happening is over, the happiness is gone. God doesn't say, I'll give you happiness. He says, I'll give you joy. There's a big difference between joy and happiness. And I believe when we're in alignment with God, we don't get happy. We get joyful. We got the joy of the Lord. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. That no matter what's happening around me, no matter what happenings are happening, it doesn't affect me because I'm not a happy man. I'm a joyful man. Is there any joyful people in the house of God? And so with joy in your heart, I want you to lift your hands. With joy in your heart, I want you to close your eyes as we worship the Lord a little bit this morning, making a commitment that God will be first. You're my priority, nothing Jesus. Else. Lift your hands, close your eyes.
Nothing else.